Good morning. Lord's blessings to all of us together. Good to be together, isn't it? Really is. Why don't we just kneel together to pray? Father in heaven, we again bow before you this morning. We thank you that you've been here. We thank you, Lord, that you've been speaking to our hearts. Lord, we do call upon you just now in this time of the preaching of the word, and we ask that the word would be anointed. We ask in Jesus' name that you would help me. Lord, help that the burden would be clear and you'd give me the ability to share and communicate the things that you've given me. And I ask, Lord, that you would take it way beyond where my thoughts are. But Lord, I just call upon you. We're here today in this generation, and I'd ask in Jesus' name that you'd help us to be all that you want us to be. Lord, you know how we're just considering where we are. We're considering what you've done, but Lord, we're considering where you want us to go. We're considering our walk with you. We just ask, reach out your hand. We want to put our hand into your hand, and we want to follow that path of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, so much for those blessed words. So, Lord, we look to you with confidence. We look to you. We put our trust in you, and we ask. We ask, Lord, that we could be a bright, shining light in this community. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to open our mouth and share the gospel. We ask, Lord, that our families could be a testimony for Jesus. We ask, Lord, that there would be truth and there could be honesty, and sin and darkness and ungodliness would have to flee. We ask, Lord, for faithfulness. Thank you for being here in Jesus' name. Amen. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. I thought it goes very well with Brother David was sharing this morning. Goes very well with that. If you want to turn with me for an opening scripture to the book of Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount, and we're just going to break in and look at verse 6 this morning. There was many, many of these teachings that Jesus put out there to his disciples that I think we do very well to consider. We do very well to consider. This is one of those. Verse 6, it says, "Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And as I look at these verses, I like to suggest that there's a lot more in those couple words than we so quickly, if we read across those verses, there's a lot more there than we sometimes consider. But as we look at the core of the gospel of Jesus Christ and our walk with Him, a lot of it comes right down to these verses where it says, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst." And I wonder if there's anyone here this morning that's hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Or I wonder if there's five people here. Or maybe there's 10. Or maybe there's half. Now the story is given over in Africa. There's a number of countries right now where there's a famine. And it's a very severe famine. In fact, the UN put out there that they need some $6 billion to put food into these countries. And the famine is very, 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 very severe. It's Yemen, Sudan, there's a number of those countries. But there's story after story that you can read of situations. There's various organizations that are trying to help those people. But there's thousands and millions of people in those countries right now that are hungry and they're thirsty. They're hungry. And the story is given of this lady with her son. She has a 16-year-old son. And in the years gone by, they've done fairly well. In their area, there is oil fields and things, and there was money there. There was plenty of food there. And in the last, I'm not sure how long it's been, the oil industry has left, and there's a famine that has come. Not only has the oil fields left, but there's a famine that has come on the land to the extent that the people no longer have food to eat. It's gone. And family after family, they walk around looking for something to eat. And the story is given of this lady. It was just this year, just a couple months ago. This lady, they went out looking, her and her son, looking for food. She had lost her job. There's no money. And not only was there no money, but the food in the local area, it's gone. There's no more food there. And so they were out digging for roots to find that they could take and cook and try to get the poison out so they could eat at least some roots. And she heard that some of her neighbors had gone down the road about 45 minutes and gotten some roots in a field, brought them home and cooked them and cooked the poisons out, and they ate them. At least there's a little bit of food. And I don't think we have any idea how those hunger pains and the longing and the crave for food that they experience. But they'll do anything. There's all kinds of stories around of what people have done in the desperation of hunger and crave when there's no food there. But this lady, they went out and they found some roots. And actually, while they were there, just leaving. There's men came with guns and they just got away in time. They came home and they cooked these roots, because they hadn't eaten for 3 days. Hadn't eaten for 3 days, and they cooked these roots and trying to get the poison out. and then they ate the roots. That night, obviously they hadn't gotten all the poison out. That night, the 16-year-old boy started really losing out. He got very, very sick. And by 5:45 in the morning, he was gone. After having not eaten for 3 days. This is another story of an old grandma and her daughter and the grandchildren. And they were on a road traveling because there was no more food. They were looking for food. There's something that happens when those hunger pains, they drive us. When we get hungry, you know, we're willing to do whatever. There's a desire there for food, and we want food. And we eat stuff that we never ever dreamed we would simply for survival. And they wake up at night, and their stomach is gnawing at them. Where's food? Where's food? They wake up, they're weak, they're tired. Only if I could have a little bit of food. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I'd like for us to consider what righteousness really is. It says that righteousness is one of God's attributes of holiness. You know, even in our country, and there's a lot of awful things happen in our government, if you may call it that, and yet I have great appreciation for what we have in America. You go to some of these other countries, and I've been there. You know, you go and you buy a car, and you try to get a title and a license for your car, and it normally takes a year or two to get all that paperwork through. And it's horrible, the corruption that's going on underneath. You know, and if you want some of that stuff to happen, you know, you give them $50 under the table and you have it done immediately. But there's horrible corruption that goes on. You know, there's many a government that is horribly corrupt. It's ungodly. And in America, we can walk in, you give them the papers. Half hour later, we walk out and everything's done. But we all know there's still a lot of corruption around. But righteousness is doing that which is right. Doing that which is right according to God's word. Doing that which is right in God's eyes. That's righteousness. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. And brothers, you know how it is? There's many of us that there's glitches in our lives that we desire righteousness and it's not where we desire it to be. Isn't that right? Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Righteousness in any cause, it's rightness, it's truthfulness. It's what's ethically right. It talks about salvation. It's righteous acts. But all around us, we see all this wickedness. And not only all around us, but we find it within ourselves, don't we? We find it within ourselves. These things that are not all righteous, These things that we know ought to be different. These things that we know that God wants us to change, that God wants us to be different in. We find those things within us. But he uses that phrase that says, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst." And the question that I'd like to just put out here today is, how much of a hunger is really there? How much of a hunger is really there? On a scale from 1 to 10, is it at a 1? You know what I mean? You know, this afternoon, after lunch or after the service here, you know, and we're going to eat, okay? Some are going to eat here and some are going to go home. And right now, where's your hunger level? You know, mine's about at a maybe 1 or 2 right now. You know, I mean, it's not bad at all. It's not very high. But I wonder where our spiritual hunger level really is. You follow what I'm saying? Where is our spiritual hunger level? These words, according to these words, when our spiritual hunger level comes to a place where we seek for the righteousness of God with that gnawing and that craving, and we do whatever it takes, that's when God meets us and he comes and brings change into our life. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. I'd like to, if you could turn with me to the book of Hebrews in chapter 5. There's some very interesting verses there. Hebrews chapter 5, it gives us an account of Jesus. Jesus, a righteous man. Jesus, who never committed any sin. Jesus, who spent much time in prayer. Jesus, who faced all the... He was in the flesh. Or he had a body of flesh. He faced temptations like you and I. But it says these words in verse 6. It says, as he saith in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications, I'll just stop there. We know what prayers and supplications are, right? And I think many of us do that regularly, prayers and supplications. But consider what was happening with Jesus. Let's read on. It says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. It says that Jesus, when he had offered up strong cryings and prayer, I'd like to suggest that there is a place where God wants us to come when there's needs and things in our life. That we come to the place that Jesus did, who was a pure man. He was a holy and righteous man. But he realized that he had the ability to fall. And it says that he with strong cryings and tears. What is that? I envision that coming before God privately, where there's a calling out on God and a longing and a desire, somehow I have to get through this. I need your help. I won't be able to make it without your help. Right? And then look what it says. He goes on and he says, to save him from death, which I believe was sin, and was heard in that he feared. As he did that, as he came to God in that way, with that hungering and thirsting, that calling out to God, realizing that unless he comes and helps me, I won't be able to make it through. As he did that, there was a holy fear came down on him that enabled him, it strengthened him, and the power of God was upon him, and he walked in purity. But many of us have a hunger level of about 2 or 3, right? Many of us have a hunger level that's very low. And when we face these situations that we know God wants us to change, we know God is looking at us and he wants to help us, but we are not hungering and thirsting after righteousness to the place where we're filled. We go to work and we come home, and the first thing we get is our newspaper, and we look at the newspaper. We spend our evening doing various things, and it's all other things, you know. Our mind gets filled with other things, and during the night we wake up and we think of all these other things, and we wake up in the next morning and we spend 5 minutes in the Word of God, and then we off to work. And yet there's these problems that we have. Right, brothers and sisters? Yet there's these problems that we have. And God is looking to help us. God is looking to reach out his hand. But our hunger level is at 2. Our hunger level is at 2. And so, the next time that temptation comes, guess what happens? I fall again. When that struggle comes, I get angry again. When these situations come, sisters, these situations come, there's frustration that builds up again. You know what I'm talking about? I like to just put this idea out here, that the reason that we aren't overcomers is because we're not serious enough about it. Because we're not hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Here it says, blessed is a man that hungers and thirsts after righteousness, and he shall be filled. I'd like to be one of those, wouldn't you? I know how it is, brothers. When we face situations and there's no way out, it looks so dark and it looks so, you know, there's no way out. And we come before God Almighty and we, with strong cries, we cry out to God because we see there's no way through it unless God in heaven intervenes and helps us. We hunger and thirst after right living. We hunger and thirst after doing the will of God. We hunger and thirst because we know we can't do it by ourselves. We can't make it. Hunger and thirst. Oh. We wake up at night and we purposefully, our minds start thinking about God. and we start praying because we know we have that need. We come home from work, or whatever happens, there's a continual turning to God. There is a crying out to God. And if there's a need, we do what it takes to be serious with God, and we hunger and thirst and we cry till those needs are met. And maybe this morning, maybe there's two people here that are hungering and thirsting after God. Or maybe there's none. Or maybe there's five. Or maybe there's half. But I wonder how the Lord's looking down at us this morning. I wonder. I'm one of those that I'm not sure it's my hunger level, I'd like to just admit, isn't where I desire to see it. Let's put it that way. But that's what I'm striving for. Blessed is the man that hungers and thirsts after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Let's go on and read here in Hebrews chapter 5. He goes on, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be understood and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time, here he goes on. I like to just say that these next couple verses, this is what happens when we are not hungering and thirsting after righteousness to that extent. He says that we're dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even to those who by reason of use have made their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I believe that God is looking and God is just desiring to pour his graces into our life and help us to grow. He's wanting for us to function together as a brotherhood and to be helping each other. And in the middle of all this, there's this hungering after God. There's this thirsting, those hunger pains, and we think about God. We call out to him for help. There's this longing after God. Blessed is a man that hungers and thirsts after righteousness, for he shall be filled. When we're filled, we have power to overcome the adversary. We have power to overcome the sins, the temptations that come our way. We're strengthened in the inner man. His grace and power comes down into our life and enables us to move forward. Maturity comes as we walk faithfully over a period of time. But I wonder how hungry we are this morning. No, I'm at a 2 right now. Hey, you know, smell the food, right? I'm at a 2. Okay. Now, if I wouldn't have eaten for 2 days, I'd be hungry. All right. I'm at a 2 right now. Instead of hungering and thirsting, we pour our time and our energies into things that won't build us spiritually. And we can sort of see where our interests are, can't we, brothers? We sort of walk into each other's houses and I've, you know, that there are some that have all the walls full of antlers and all the walls full of hides and tanned hides and pictures, and there's other people that maybe have some sports figures, and there's others that have, okay, you got the point? And we can see, oh, yeah, they're hungering and thirsting, I see. I see where they're hungering and thirsting, and I see where it's all gone, you know. We realize that. There's others that have, they're hungering and thirsting after a lot of other things, you know. You know what it is in your life, right? Okay. Now, the story is given of a man who was in jail. He was in prison because of his faith. And as he was there in prison, there's one of the guards who was a very cruel man. And day after day, when it was there his turn to go outside for a walk outside, this cruel guard would come up and he would kick him extremely hard, where he would fall out and sprawl across the ground. And day after day, there was something that would rise up within him in anger and frustration at that guard because of how cruelly he was treated. And after everything was done and he'd come back into his cell, he sat there and he asked himself the question, why is it that anger and frustration rose up within me like it did? Why is it? Why, when there ought to be a love in my heart when someone mistreats me to that extent? He was very cruelly abused by this ungodly man. But rather than that love coming up in his heart, there was anger, there was frustration, there was hate that rose up in his heart. And he would go back into his cell. And there he'd pray to God and say, God, somehow, Lord, that anger, that frustration toward that guard, I know that's not from you. And somehow, Lord, would you please give me a love for that man? God, would you somehow bring me to the place when he does it again tomorrow, that there was a love, that the love and a compassion would rise up in my heart. And he'd beg God, and he'd say, God, you have to do it in my heart. I can't. Please come and change that. And the next day he'd go out again, and the man would do it again. And that anger would again rise up in his heart. Day after day he'd go back and say, God, somehow, God, bring me to the place of a brokenness. Bring me to the place where there's a love and a compassion would rise up in my heart. Day after day this happened. And finally the day came. He went back out, and this guard did it again. And oh, it was hurt so much. But in his heart, as he rose back up again, there was tears coming down his heart, and he was crying, and there was such a compassion in his heart toward this man that had wronged him. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. In Psalms chapter 17 and verse 15, it says these words, As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. I'm going to be satisfied when I wake with thy likeness. Isaiah chapter 55 verse 2 says, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me and hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Brothers and sisters, how much do we want righteousness, right living? How much do we want the ways of God to be stamped upon our image? That when those other things come up, there's such a hunger and thirst, and we come to the place like Jesus did, that there's a crying out, and there's a longing, and there's a going after that. We're willing to walk 50 days without food till we get to a place where there's food. People do crazy stuff when they get hungry. When the destruction of Israel was, or Jerusalem, some very horrible things happened because of the famine that was in the city. Mothers ate their own babies. Utter chaos, utter wickedness. Why? Because they were hungry. They were willing to do whatever it took to satisfy that hunger. There is among us, all of us, there is that craving, isn't it? There is a craving, and we crave after something that will only be satisfied with Christ. I'd like to just put out here this morning, if we want to walk with God, if we want to be serious with the Lord, we need to do what Jesus did. Jesus was willing to prostrate himself and to cry out to God with strong cryings until there was answer, until there was rest, until there's that fear came. Many of us don't have the fear of God because we don't do that. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Lord bless you.